Let's get to our guest. Charu Chanana is with us. She is the market strategist at Saxo Capital Markets on the line from Singapore. Charu, thank you for being with us. Do you trust this rally that we saw today in the U.S.? I mean, there was a fair amount of short covering, I'm sure, but I'm wondering whether or not maybe we've reached some kind of inflection point. If you buy into the idea that perhaps we're beginning to see a peak, if we haven't already, in inflation in the U.S., and now the Fed has got some room to begin to maybe ease its aggression.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me. So, great question. Yeah, I mean, does the rally have legs? I mean, no 7% kind of a rally in Nasdaq would ever have legs, I think. But of course, not at this stage when certainly there seems to be some disinflationary forces in play at the moment, but the US inflation is still very high. And I think this is not a time for the Fed to take comfort in one print, right? So I do think the market reaction has been a little bit exaggerated. In terms of the Fed path from here, they have already communicated that downshift to smaller rate hikes from the December meeting onwards. So again, this meeting, this CPI print doesn't really change anything. You know, it was expected that we are going to get a 50 basis points in December with a small probability of a 75 basis points. And it likely remains to be the case. There's been obviously some downshift in the terminal rate pricing, which of course, again, I think there will be a lot of pushback from the Fed members in the coming days. We've already seen some last night, but I think some more to come, because this easing of financial conditions is certainly not something the Fed wants at this stage.
Charu, if the market reaction was, as you say, exaggerated, then what happens next if we are pricing in more hikes, but of course expecting that inflation will continue to cool somewhat, because there is still a lot of people out there that don't want to miss out. So it's a bit of a FOMO rally heading into the end of the year too.
Well, I do think that this interest rate story and the inflation story is pretty much in the markets now. I think from here on, especially for the equity markets, the focus has to move a lot more towards those recession concerns, towards the earnings concerns. We've already seen a big margin compression in this Q3 earnings season, and that likely looks like will get worse from here. And of course, the second biggest risk that we faced this week is the liquidity risks. It is right now being seen in the crypto market, but will likely have spillovers to the other financial markets as well. And there could be these pockets of risk, I think, in, again, other parts of the markets as well. So I think these are some of the things that will be more important for the equity markets from here on.
We had a big collapse in yields across the U.S. Treasury curve today. And with that, a big drop in the dollar. I can give you around 30 seconds in this segment, Charu. Have we seen the best of the dollar in terms of its strength against the majors right now? Is the path forward weaker?
I have a tough time calling it a top in the US dollar. You know, I mean, I would say yes, a little bit more choppier. It won't be as straight line up as we've seen in this year throughout. The Fed is certainly still more hawkish than some of the other major central banks. And if we see recession concerns picking up, we have safe haven flows to the dollar. If we see liquidity concerns picking up, again, we have, you know, the liquidity can be found in the US dollar and the US treasuries.
Ed was telling us, with Beijing reporting the most new COVID cases in more than a year, but at the same time, the new Politburo Standing Committee reiterating that general guideline of COVID zero and stressing a more precise approach, perhaps seeing light at the end of the COVID zero tunnel. When do we see that, and when do we then see a big rally in assets, Charu?
Hi, Juliet. So yeah, I think that is the big question with China's zero COVID policy, right? How soon do we see it, and how fast that unwinding of those policies will be? But at this stage, it looks like the reopening is being very cautious. And I think, this jargon that we have, dynamic zero COVID, I think that is likely to stay. They are probably going to add more flexibility around it with respect to, you know, quarantine days or PCR testing requirements, because of course, consumption is becoming a big focus. We saw October exports slipping into the negative territory for China. So certainly they need more support to growth, more drivers of growth in the economy, and that has to come from consumption. So I think that will remain a big focus, and we will see more flexibility, but I don't see these restrictions or lockdowns going anywhere.
So a little bit of uncertainty then. Would you be willing to put money to work in the equity market in China right now?
I think the positive side here is that the positioning has been so weak, right? That there is still some potential if we do see, even those small measures and that intent of reopening at some point in 2023, at least. So I think, I would, probably consider some targeted, investments there.
And some of the targeted investments outside China, when you look at the reopening story, particularly as we know, as soon as the borders open and you get the Chinese tourists back, that is very big news for a lot of the Southeast Asian countries. You're looking at Indonesia and Vietnam as well for some upside. Tell us why.
I think the reopening story will particularly be beneficial to maybe, Japan or Thailand. But for me, I think Indonesia and Vietnam have been very interesting. Indonesia, particularly because of its, commodities exposure, and we've seen the run-up in commodities this year. I think that is likely to continue to, benefit Indonesia, especially because they also have a lot of these green metals, nickel and lithium and stuff, which will be required for the green transformation story going forward as well. So I think that's very interesting for me. But also at the same time, Vietnam, I think that obviously has been the biggest beneficiary of manufacturing moving out of China over the last several years. And, as that continues to play out, I think those policies in Vietnam that continue to attract, manufacturing as well as support consumption in a big way, I think it's like firing on all cylinders. So, I do see these two being placed really well going into next year as well.
We were talking earlier, Charu, about the collapse in the dollar today as a function of these lower treasury yields across the curve. And the flip side of that, obviously, is a much, much stronger yen, 140, 170, thereabouts. It's hard to believe. Less than a month ago, we were talking about intervention, right, with the yen weakening past 150 against the greenback. So talk to me about what you see happening in the Japanese currency and whether or not it gives you the appetite for Japanese risk assets right now.
I would start at maybe a slightly different place here. Talk about the U.S. yields. Would you think that the 10-year yields have peaked? In my sense, like I said earlier as well, I do think that the interest rate story has been pretty much priced in by the markets. So I do see those equity and bond correlations turning negative once again going into 2023. And when that yield story starts to top out, I do think that the pressure on the yen will particularly ease, right? Because it was the divergence between the US yields and the Japanese yields that was actually causing all of that pressure. And secondly, I think the kind of intervention that we have already seen from the Japanese authorities has obviously taken out some of that speculative froth from the yen market. So I think that's also very important. For the next several weeks, I would still continue to see pressure. Like I said, there's possibility of Fed's hawkish commentary.
All right, Charu, we're going to have to leave it there. Have a great weekend. Charu Chinana, market strategist at Saxo Capital Markets, on the line from Singapore for us here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.